السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله، الحمد لله وكفى، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون. صدق الله العظيم. علماء الكرام، most respected elders and brothers, and also our sisters who may be listening over receivers, or those who are listening over streaming. We have gathered here today, and it is the mercy and tawfiq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we are here for this talk and this program, in which some discussion will take place related to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which could be termed as part and parcel of the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In one hadith of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he has mentioned that ala inna ad-dunya mal'una, ala inna ad-dunya mal'una, the translation of which is that ala, for those who understand the Arabic language, is referred to as al-huruf al-tanbih. Listen very attentively, listen very carefully. In Urdu we translate it as hamatan gosht hokar suna. Let your entire body be an ear. So Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is drawing the attention of the listener and saying, listen very carefully. Inna dunya mal'una. This entire dunya is cursed. Mal'unun ma fiha. Everything in the world is cursed. Now a person will say that everything is cursed in the world, but you know, everything appears to be so beautiful. There's so much of glitter and glamour. There's so much of bright lights and dazzling lights. The cars look so wonderful. The tires look so beautiful. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is the creator of jamal and beauty, inna Allah ta'ala jameel, al-musawwir. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the creator of beauty. The creator of beauty will understand best what is beauty. And if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has termed this dunya as cursed, we have to take it from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that it is really cursed. In comparison to the hereafter, in comparison to Jannah, this dunya is absolutely futile and worthless. To understand this, in another hadith, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, لَوْ كَانَتِ الدُّنْيَا تَعْدِلُ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ جَنَاحَ بَعُوضًا, that had this dunya been equivalent to the wing of a mosquito in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, مَا سَقَى مِنْهَا كَافِرًا شَرْبَةَ مَاءٍ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would not have given the disbeliever one sip of water to drink. But because this dunya is not even equivalent to the wing of a mosquito in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just to understand this a little better by way of an example, imagine a person goes into a jeweler's store. He's selling gold coins, silver, Krugerrands. Says, listen, give me one Krugerrand. I've got one entire bag full of mosquito wings. So that person, he'll say, brother, I think you know you need to go to the nearest asylum. You're coming with mosquito wings. What am I going to do with mosquito wings? But yet the mosquito wings has got some kind of value. This hadith Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioning that even if the dunya had that much value, like how we look at the wing of a mosquito, even if it had that much value, مَا سَقَى مِنْهَا كَافِرًا شَرْبَةَ مَاءٍ, Allah would not have given the kafir one sip of water to drink. But because it doesn't even have that much value in the sight of Allah, so Allah Ta'ala says, eat and drink. Eat and drink and enjoy. Take as much as you want of this dunya. It doesn't make any difference to me. So this dunya is absolutely worthless and futile in comparison to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What he has in akhirah, what He has in store for those who have obeyed Him, those who have sacrificed in this world. When they will go into the hereafter and see the bounties and the embellishments and the gifts and the prizes which Allah has in store for His obedient servants, then they will say it was worthwhile. The sacrifices were worthwhile. So this entire dunya is absolutely cursed. Ala inna dunya mal'una. Mal'unun ma fiha. But Allah, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, has given an exception. That there is something in dunya that although it's taking place in a dunya that is cursed, but that is not cursed. And what is that exception to that rule? Illa ذِكْرَ اللَّهِ وَمَا وَالَاهُ وَعَالِمًا أَوْ مُتَعَلِّمًا أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ. Except the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَمَا وَالَاهُ, and everything that is attached to the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A person takes out the Quran Sharif, is reading Quran Sharif, this will be regarded as the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A person does something for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A person makes khidmah of his elderly parents for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That too can be regarded as the remembrance and the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A person goes out to work to seek a halal livelihood for the sake of his family. That too will be regarded as the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because it is the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to earn a halal livelihood and to fulfill one's responsibilities. وَعَالِمٌ أَوْ مُتَعَلِّمًا. The person who is a alim in the true sense of the word, the person who is a seeker of knowledge. Sometimes we look down upon these people in our community, the local imam, the hafiz sahab who is teaching, Maulana sahab, bichara, what does he really have? So we look down upon these people in society. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us all with respect for everyone that is associated and attached to the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These are special people in our community. They have sacrificed their lives for the upliftment and for the safeguarding of the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Of course, they serving deen, and those who are serving deen, they should always consider this in the example which Hazrat Moinus Patel Sahib Rahmatullahi mentions. He said that every single person who is making khidmat of deen should consider himself like that guard in the palace of the king. So he is guarding the palace of the king. He regards it as his good fortune that he has been selected and chosen by the king to serve in the palace. And he realizes very well that if I do not perform my duty properly, then the king, he has got the entire country at his disposal. He can replace me with another 100 individuals. So the person who is making khidmah of deen, there should be no pride that enters his heart. In fact, he should always have this fear at the back of his mind that this ni'mah and this bounty of khidmah of deen must not be snatched away. But those of us who look up down upon those who are serving the work of deen, so we must understand that yes, perhaps that Hafiz sahab, that Maulana sahab, we may feel pity for him that he is earning a meager salary. But we do not realize that he is serving the deen of Allah ta'ala for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That salary is probably something which is by the way. His payment will be in the akhirah. That Hafiz sahab who is teaching in the Hifz class, so he's teaching those students, giving him a certain amount of money. That's not in payment for the Quran. We cannot pay for Quran Sharif. How can we ever pay for Quran Sharif? Quran Sharif, one ayat of the Quran Sharif purchases you one entire rank in Jannah. One entire rank in Jannah. So can we imagine the value of each word and verse of the Quran Sharif? How then, if the Hafiz sahab were to say, okay, let me put a price to each verse, brother, we probably have to pay our entire estate and everything, and we still won't be able to make payment. That payment will be in the hereafter. So those individuals who are serving the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those students who are seeking deeni knowledge, they are very special in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Though in the community, and you find this very often, that sometimes you have a family, and it is unfortunate that in the family you have perhaps, sometimes it's the grandparents. So he has one or two grandchildren that are gone in the university. One is becoming a doctor, one is becoming a lawyer, one is becoming a scientist. And then one particular grandson is becoming an alim. Unfortunately, of course, illa mashallah, the exception to this rule. But somehow or the other, that those ones who are going to the university, well, they've succeeded in life. You know, they've sorted themselves. Inshallah, this Maulana sahab now, we don't know what's going to happen to him. Don't worry what is going to happen to him. He has given his life to Allah. Allah will look after him. Allah will see to his needs. In fact, Allah will put it in people's hearts to see to him. Then we'll scratch our heads, but must be he's asking those people. Maybe he went in with a begging bowl asking them. Nothing like that. Allah Ta'ala puts it in the hearts of individuals. Allah Ta'ala puts barakah in the little that they get. So therefore, as grandparents, as parents, if we have a certain child who is inclined towards becoming a servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we should motivate him. We should encourage him. In fact, we should regard that one as our real investment in the hereafter. We're not saying that to become a doctor, lawyer is not, you know, it's totally permissible. But the reality is that the person who has given his life for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and if we have a grandson who, for example, has become an alim of deen, subhanallah, we will go into our graves. And so long as he is serving the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we will continue accruing and enjoying the rewards of that. What a great thawab ajariya this is. So illa, the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the alim adeen, the person who is seeking deeni knowledge, they are not cursed, they are accepted from the, they are the exception to that particular rule. Otherwise, respected elders and brothers, this entire dunya, and everything that is in it, is cursed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hence, from this, respected elders and brothers, we come to realize that this dunya is not the place that we should be giving our hearts towards. We should not be giving our hearts towards this dunya. And therefore Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created certain means and given us certain opportunities and afforded us with certain occasions through which if we apply ourselves, we will be able to detach ourselves to this dunya and becoming intoxicated and engrossed in dunya. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in one very profound hadith he mentions that lal-faqru akhsha alaykum. That, oh my companions, oh my ummah, we could extend it. I do not fear poverty over you. Walakin akhsha alaykum an tubsata alaykum ad-dunya. But what I really fear is that dunya and this world starts opening up for you. The material enjoyments of this world start opening up for you. Kama busitat ala man kana qablakum. Just like how it was opened up for the people before you. فَتَنَافَسُوهَا كَمَا تَنَافَسُوهَا. And then you will start competing with one another, vying with one another. And who has more? Well, he has purchased one more property, let me buy two properties. He's pulled out a new vehicle, let me pull out the later model. And now we start competing with one another. فَتُهْلِكَكُمْ كَمَا أَهْلَكَتْهُمْ. And in the process of becoming totally engrossed and intoxicated in dunya, you will be destroyed just like how the nations of the past were destroyed. And therefore, respected elders and brothers, this is extremely essential and important that we take advantage of these opportunities to detach ourselves and start realizing what's our real goal and purpose in this world. Our real purpose and goal in this world is to acquire and to prepare for the hereafter. Everything else in this world is a means for that, is a means to that end. So yes, the person can have the best of cars, he can have the best of homes, he can have the largest of businesses, the most productive business. But so long as his heart is not attached to it in the sense that it causes him to become ghafil and negligence of the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then that is not condemnable in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In fact, that is something which is remarkable, that the person, despite being so engrossed and or having so much of wealth, he is still focused, he is still totally focused on the hereafter. This is something which is praiseworthy. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned this in the Quran and Majid with regards to the sahaba ikram. Rijalun la tulhihim tijaratu wa la bay'un an dhikrillahi wa iqami as-salah wa ita'i az-zakah. That the sahaba ikram were such men in the true sense of the word, la tulhihim tijara, that their businesses, la tulhihim tijaratu wa la bay'un, neither their buying and selling in their businesses diverted them from the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from the establishment of salah, wa ita'i zakah, and from the fulfillment of the zakah. And what was the reason for this? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala further elaborates. Yakhafuna yawma. Yakhafuna yawman. They were concerned and feared that day of judgment. The day of judgment they were extremely concerned about. In one dua of Hazrat Ibrahim ala Nabiina alayhi salatu wassalam, to make us understand how serious the day of judgment is and how important it is for us to be afraid and concerned about the day of judgment. Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam being such a great Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Nabi who was regarded as such an obedient Nabi of Allah, ever willing to submit to the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to such an extent that he was even prepared to sacrifice his most beloved son for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that we indeed tested Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam with an extremely severe test and he passed the test. But yet Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam made one dua. If a Nabi of this caliber, if a Nabi who was so accepted in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if he is making this dua, where do I stand? Where do we stand? He said, Ya Allah, wala tukhzini yawma yub'athun. O Allah, on the day of Qiyamah, do not disgrace me. Wala tukhzini yawma yub'athun. O Allah, on the day of Qiyamah, do not humiliate me, do not embarrass me, do not disgrace me. Yawma la yanfa'u malun wala banun. On that day, the day of Qiyamah, when wealth and children will be of no avail, they will not benefit us in any way. Illa man ata Allah biqalbin salim. Except of course that individual who comes before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with a pure heart, with a purified heart, with a mujalla heart, muzakka heart, musaffa heart, clean, purified heart. The night of Bara'a just recently passed and we were encouraged to empty our hearts of any kind of hatred and resentment. Unfortunately, this has become so common in our society that we are burdening our hearts with this evil of hatred and resentment. Brothers and sisters are not on talking terms. Family members, parents and children are not even talking any longer. Neighbors, family members, so much of hatred and resentment. It's unbelievable. We become so upset. Of course, sometimes it's not the fault of the individual. Sometimes the person on the other hand is being so nasty. Recently I had a phone call, one parent said, Maulana, my child is causing me so much of taklif that I've reached a point where I'm making baddua for my own child. I'm making evil duas for my own child. Of course, the advice which we gave them was the same advice which Hazrat Maulana Patel Sahib Rahmatullah had mentioned. That if we're going to make baddua for our family members, for our children, for our brothers, for our wives, for our spouses, then in the process we are going to suffer in the long run. Now for example, if the husband curses the wife, and the wife now, Allah Ta'ala accepts that curse, and the wife now is inflicted with some terrible disease, now who has to foot the hospital bills? Who has to run up and down to the doctor? And who has to see to her and tend to her? The same husband who cursed her. And vice versa, if the wife curses the husband, and then he is inflicted with some terrible disease, incurable disease. Now he is no longer able to work. Now who is going to pay the rent, lights, water? Now the wife will suffer also in the process. And similarly, if the parents curse the child, now the child is cursed, gets onto drugs and some bad habits. Now when all the problems start coming out, who suffers in the process? Those very parents that curse those children. So as Mohanis Sahib Rahmatullah always say that when we are upset with our children or with our spouses, then at that moment, you are upset, you are emotional. If you have to make dua, let it be a positive dua. So even if you have to say it out a little loudly, with a little bit more emotion, say, may Allah give you hidayat. Now if it is a moment of acceptance, now you took that opportunity and you said, Ya Allah, may Allah give you hidayat. And Allah Ta'ala accepted that dua. Now subhanallah, that was a golden opportunity and that became the turning point of that child's life. So that was the advice that was given. Always make positive duas. And similarly, you find the situation between brothers. Now they're working in the same company. Now they're shareholders. But unfortunately, we have to understand this very important principle, respected elders and brothers. Listen to this very carefully. The ulama-i kiram has stated that ta'asharu kal-ikhwan wa ta'amalu kal-ajanib. That when you are dealing with one another, deal as if you are strangers. Deal as if you are total strangers. As you would go into a business transaction with a stranger, have everything written down, these are the conditions, this is how we're going to work out our leave, this is how we're going to be purchasing vehicles from the business, this is how we're going to be financing our properties from the business, this is the percentage that each one can take, this is the amount of leave that each one is entitled to. Have all of this in writing. But yes, وَتَعَاشَرُوا كَالْإِخْوَانِ. But when you have to stay with one another, when you have your informal meetings, then you are like brothers. But by doing this, we save ourselves so much of frustration. And then the one feels as if the other brother took unfairly, or this one is taking unnecessary leave, or this one is unfairly doing this. So therefore, when it comes to our business, let us learn to run our business in a professional manner. Do it professionally. In this way, we protect ourselves from all these kind of frustrations and hard ill feelings. So that also is important. These things need to be put in place. Have plans, you know, in place, and make sure that we have everything in order to avoid these kind of situations. But if something has happened, if there has been some kind of ill feelings or some kind of fight or something that has taken place, let us learn to forgive. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is always willing to forgive us. This is a beautiful quality which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves very dearly. وَالْعَافِينَ عَنِ النَّاسِ. That individual who is always willing to forgive others. And this was the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Always willing to forgive people who had caused him such taklif. They came to him like they came to Yusuf alayhi salam, the brothers, that تَاللَّهِ لَقَدْ آثَرَكَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْنَا وَإِن كُنَّا لَخَاطِئِينَ. That indeed we have, you know, wronged ourselves, and we, Allah has given preference to you. Immediately, what was the response? No revenge. لا تثريب عليكم اليوم. يغفر الله لكم. May Allah forgive you. I forgive you so that Allah Ta'ala can forgive my sins. If we look at our own lives from the morning till the night, how many commands of Allah Ta'ala we violate? How do we really fulfill the commands of Allah Ta'ala in the manner that it should be fulfilled? But Allah Ta'ala is always ready to forgive us. So we should also develop this quality of always being ready to forgive others. Nevertheless, respected elders and brothers, this month of Ramadan is coming, and in this last 5 or 6 minutes that we have, let us just touch on this topic with regards to this month of Ramadan. This is the second last Friday before the month of Ramadan. Therefore, it would not be inappropriate if something is discussed with regards to the month of Ramadan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us this month of Ramadan for that very purpose that we had mentioned in the introduction. That we may detach ourselves from becoming totally intoxicated and engrossed in this dunya, which is so temporary. Sometimes a person gets so caught up in his cycle of activities that he forgets what's his real purpose and goal. A person gets so involved in his work sometimes, he doesn't realize what was the purpose of the work that he was doing sometimes. So sometimes we need to just take a step back and say, what am I really trying to achieve here? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the same way, Allah ta'ala has given us these opportunities, Laylatul Bara'a, which was a good preparation for the month of Ramadan, a good conditioning for the month of Ramadan. This month of Ramadan, respected elders and brothers, it is an ideal opportunity for us to develop that bond with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to develop that quality of taqwa. And that is the objective of the month of Ramadan. Allah ta'ala says, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. This whole exercise in the month of Ramadan, the whole objective of the month of Ramadan is to develop this quality of taqwa. If a person goes through the entire month of Ramadan, he fasts, mashallah, he performs his taraweeh, everything is done on time, fasting, giving his sadaqatul fitr, whatever it may be, everything has been done. But at the end of the month of Ramadan, if he does not achieve and acquire this quality of taqwa, Allah consciousness, the fact that Allah is watching me at any moment, jo karta hai tu chup ke ahle jahan se, koi dekhta hai tujhe aasma se, alam ya'lam bi anna Allah yara. Do you not know that Allah is watching you? Quietly, when a person is within the confines of his workplace, Allah is watching him. The person at every single given moment, he's aware that Allah is watching me. He's conscious of the fact that Allah is watching him. So that individual, no matter where he is, whether it is in his business place, he'll always be concerned that Allah is watching me. Sometimes you find the person in the masjid, mashallah, the external is there. The person has got the full beard, everything is there. But the taqwa is not there. That inner quality has not been developed. That consciousness, that conscious awareness that Allah is watching. The person is a doctor. He knows very well what is the diagnosis. But just to make a little extra money, he gives something else. The person is in business. He knows very well there's a fault in the particular product. But he doesn't disclose that particular fault. Now all this is an indication that the individual is not conscious that Allah is watching him. And this is what the month of Ramadan is all about. What stops the person from breaking his fast in the month of Ramadan? Nothing. It is only one aspect. The person can quietly go into his kitchen, open the fridge and drink something. But he says, my fast will not be accepted because Allah is watching me. No one else saw, But Allah is watching. If I drink this water, Allah won't accept my fast. So he becomes conscious of the fact that Allah is watching him at every moment. If this quality can filter into every activity of our lives, whether it is in our workplace, the person is employed for a particular period of time. Now he will never use that time for his personal needs. The telephone that he's given access to. Now he won't be making phone calls to this person, in that family member in this country and this family member here and here. Because he'll be aware that Allah is watching me. My employer may not come to know, but Allah will know. Allah will be aware. And then the barakah in my wealth will be taken away. There will be no blessings in my wealth if I abuse this trust that has been placed upon me. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq. And we should all build up a kind of an excitement within our hearts that we are edging closer and closer to this Mubarak month of Ramadan. A Muslim and a mu'min is always excited to get an opportunity to earn more rewards. And this was the quality of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Hence from the month of Rajab, he said, Allahumma barik lana fi Rajab wa Sha'ban wa ballighna Ramadan. Oh Allah, make us reach the month of Ramadan. Let me see the month of Ramadan. Let me experience the month of Ramadan. This is a quality which we should develop within our hearts. That Ya Allah, give us the tawfiq to yet again experience another month of Ramadan. And of course, we make dua that Allah Ta'ala makes it one of the best Ramadans of our lives. A Ramadan full of maghfirat, full of rahmat, full of the mercy of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. A Ramadan which becomes a turning point in our lives. Because the reality is, respected elders and brothers, life is melting away like a block of ice on a sunny day. And we should all tell ourselves that this could be the last Ramadan of my entire life. This could be the last Ramadan of my entire life. A poet says, تَزَوَّدْ مِنَ التَّقْوَى فَإِنَّكَ لَا تَدْرِي إِذَا جَنَّ لَيْلٍ هَلْ تَعِيشُ إِلَى الْفَجْرِ. The person says, that take advantage, take provisions, acquire this quality of taqwa, because you do not know. فَإِنَّكَ لَا تَدْرِي إِذَا جَنَّ لَيْلٌ. That when the night falls, whether you will even reach the time of Fajr. Hazrat Abdullah ibn Umar, he said, إِذَا أَصْبَحْتَ فَلَا تَنْتَذِرِ الْمَسَى. That when the morning comes, do not wait for the evening. وَإِذَا أَمْسَيْتَ فَلَا تَنْتَذِرِ الصَّبَاحِ. And when the evening comes, do not wait for the morning. We should regard and take every opportunity as the last and the best opportunity. May Allah Ta'ala firstly grant me the tawfiq to develop this quality. And may Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala make this Ramadan a beautiful Ramadan for the entire Ummah of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The entire Ummah of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is suffering. Our numbers are such great numbers. We pride ourselves with the numbers. But unfortunately, the true spirit of Iman and Islam is diminishing. More and more individuals are becoming more and more attached and intoxicated in the material wealth of this world. Therefore, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned in one hadith that a time will come when my ummah will be large, but they will be extremely weak. And one of the reasons of that weakness is hubbud dunya wa karahiyatul maut. Excessive love for dunya, and the person despises and hates death. He doesn't want to die. He wants to live in this world and enjoy the entertainments and enjoyments of this world forever and ever. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us with these qualities that we enjoy dunya, but our heart is attached to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The attachment of dunya is like the attachment with Hazrat Mu'in Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi. We'll terminate on this. He says that you used to get the envelopes in those days when you stuck it together. If you try to tear it open, the entire envelope will tear. Nowadays, the ones you can open and close, open and close. He said that's how our attachment to dunya should be. A mild attachment. The person loses something of dunya, so he feels it a little, it continues. Bas inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Dunya comes and goes. Person who has that kind of attachment to dunya, so that alhamdulillah is a good sign. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us with that kind of an attachment to dunya. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala attach us firmly to his mahabbat, to his ma'rifat, towards the ishq of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alamin.